we're studying the book of Romans, I thought, let me just give people one of these things. I just came across it. I thought it was useful. Dates of writing for the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's just something that you just may find of interest. All the way from the earliest book in the New Testament, James, Galatians, and then it just goes through. So have a look at this if you if that's going to be of interest to you. And this morning we've got a handout, and maybe someone will help with the handout. Thank you, Sue. That's nice. There's some on the front there. The Epistle of Romans. Just some background reading on the book of Romans that we're studying now. And this will just tell you about just some general information on Romans, really. Start off with a little testimony of John Wesley. But then we go into some of the important verses of the New Testament, the key verses of the book of Romans, and a brief summary. So it could be of use to people. Just have a read of that. Sorry it hasn't been spaced out as it could. I just needed to save on the space, really, and get it all in. We're going to have a look this morning, as I mentioned, at the book of Romans. And how many people in the church are reading before breakfast, lunch, and dinner and praying a short prayer? If you are and you're on that journey with us, put your hand up for me to see. See some hands. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's really good. Now, the others, if you're not, and if you are, put your hands up as well. It implies to every one of us. Let me tell you this. If you're not doing it, you need to ask yourself, why? Okay? Why aren't I doing it? Do I have a good reason not to do it? If you have a good reason not to do it, then what are you going to do to ensure that you take the Word of God in? Now, I'm going to be very clear with you this morning. Is it okay if I just talk plain and clear? I just need to talk. Is that okay? Because I just need to talk plain and clear to everyone, because we're not in playing games with. We can't play games with the Word of God and with our faith. If we play games with the Word of God and our faith, what happens is this church will be a church that in a few years it would close down. Numbers would dwindle down. People don't bother evangelizing. We just go off, you know. Maybe I go back to Wales. I'll go back to Wales, have a nice time in Wales, play more golf, and just relax, have a few holidays. I've always wanted to go on world cruises. I could do a three-month one. I think that'd be nice. You know, and we could just have a nice relaxing life. That's an option for us. So we can do that if we like. That's an option. Or we could show a manifestation that we take the Word of God seriously and that our lives aren't our own lives. I don't have a choice what I do with my life. That's the reality. It's not my life. I was bought at a price, and you were bought at a price. It's not your life. It's not your life. You were bought at the price. Jesus paid the price for our lives. And so now we must live a surrendered life. If we go to Romans, to the 12th chapter, even before we go to Romans chapter 1 and pick up from where we were last week, just come to me, with me, please, to Romans 12, where it says this, in verse 1, Romans 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. But the words he's using, he says, I beseech you. Please, he said, please, I beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, what does that mean? It doesn't make sense. A sacrifice is something that's dead. If something has been sacrificed, it's dead. Are you with me? So what does a living sacrifice mean? Something that's been sacrificed, it's dead, but yet it still lives. And that's the Christian life. I've switched off. Listen, what's life? It's over soon, I promise you. Your life will be over soon. My friend visited me yesterday. I couldn't believe. He said, you remember Adrian? Anyone remember Adrian, my friend, the actor? Yeah, he was visiting me yesterday. He came to visit me yesterday. It was his birthday. He said, 20 years ago, he's in that film, in that show in the West End, singing songs, Only Fools and Horses. It's a musical in the West End. 20 years ago, he was in Hamlet in Bristol. I went to see him in Hamlet in Bristol. It was, I said, 20 years ago. He said, it was 20 years. I said, 20 years ago. He said, yes. He said, I was 30. It was my 30th birthday. I said, Adrian, my dear friend. I said, take a seat, brother. I said, you're 50 years old. I said, can you believe it? 50 years old. 50. It was like this. He was 30. I remember where I was sitting in the restaurant. I remember that I ordered the pizza. The man came. It was a. We had the chocolate thing after the profiterole rolls. I remember the thing as if it was yesterday. That was 20 years ago. What is our life? Our life is like the morning dew. Our life is like the morning dew. But here's the great news. The gospel of Jesus. We are eternal beings. When the reality of heaven hits us, when the reality of heaven hits us, and the reality of this world diminishes further away from us, then we would live more for the reality of heaven and a heavenly perspective. And God has called us for a heavenly perspective, not an earthly one. And so we must take on this heavenly perspective, not be consumed with the things of this world, but a heavenly perspective, because that's when we can live as dead people, dead to this world, but alive to God and alive to this call that he's given us to be his ambassadors, to be his pointers, so that we are consumed. The number one thing in my life is that I share about Jesus with people. I want his gospel to be going out of this church. I want people on fire for Jesus. There's nothing else that's important. That's the most important, all-consuming thing. Making money. Honestly, making money, big deal. We need money to survive, fair enough. Money's, honestly, if people are pursuing money, it's madness. It's an illusion. Put God first place, God number one. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. And so he's called us on this route to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. What does that mean? To be set apart. to be set aside, holy, consecrated for a task, which is your acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, this is the gospel that we've been saved for. Brothers and sisters, let me take us to just Romans 1 here. Let's go quickly to Romans 1. Quickly to Romans 1, and let's read from verse 3, which is where we left off last week. I'm going to try and read a few more verses. The truth is, you could spend a week on every verse. It's very easy to spend a week on every verse. I don't want to do that. I want to read on. From verse 3, it says this: concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Notice it says the faith there. Notice that word faith. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Paul writes, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith, notice it says faith again, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Just as an aside, Paul had never visited Rome at this point, you know. He'd not visited the Romans yet, but he wanted to go. That's why he says that. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith. Notice the word faith again. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Faith. Faith again, there it is, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith. He's speaking of faith, exercising faith. He's called us to live by faith, to exercise faith, and to show faith. Well, what is faith? What's faith all about? Well, if we go then back to Romans 12, let's just turn quickly to Romans 12 again and verse 3. Romans 12, 3, it says this: for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So everyone has a measure of faith given to them. The question is now, what are we doing with the measure of faith? God's given us the faith. So the question is, what are we doing with the faith that God's given us? We've got to use the faith that God's given us. We've got to stretch ourselves. Exercise that faith muscle. Faith, you know, it's like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it doesn't grow. But if you exercise it, doing those curl-ups, the muscle grows bigger. If you exercise faith, it grows bigger. Faith can grow big, but if you don't exercise faith, it becomes weak. It's like a weakling. And many times in the church, people haven't exercised their faith. You see, people don't allow the Word of God in. You see, what happens is this. When we study the Word of God, when we commit our lives to taking the Word of God in, listen, it won't come in by accident. Do you honestly think that during the course of the week, you're going to have 5 spare minutes? You say, well, what should I do now? I've got half an hour spare. Oh, interesting. Oh, I think I'll sit down and do a Bible study. Does that happen? You must be joking. Doesn't happen often. If it happens to you, you're rare. I tell you how it works. It works like this. It's just the same way as if you're going to the gym. I've made a plan. I've got to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the gym. Do you want to go to the gym? I don't really want to go. But I know I should. I'm going to go. Okay, you made a plan. You're going. It's the same with studying the Bible. This is a spiritual thing. You have to say, I'm going to do it. Then I plan to do it. You've got to plan to do it. This is why we're saying with the meals, before each meal, listen, you're fully committed to your meals. No matter how busy the day is, people say, well, you know, it's a busy day. Well, you think I've got time to read a chapter? Well, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how busy I am. Well, you think I've got time? Pray a prayer, read the Bible. You have no idea how busy I am. Oh, yes, I know how busy you are. Listen, we should plan to take the Word of God in. When we plan to take the Word of God in and we set ourselves resolute to that task, we say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it when I don't feel like doing it. I'm going to do it when it's difficult to do it. I'm going to do it when I'm just going to, this is the way I'm going to live. I'm going to take the Word of God in. Because otherwise, another 20 years will go, and another 20 years goes by, and I'm in the same place. I don't want to be in the same place. I want to be burning like a fire for God. Set ablaze for God. Or else in eternity, enjoying heaven. But I can't live an ordinary life any longer. It's not for me. And my friends, it's not for you either. The religion of Christianity has turned the life-giving fire of the gospel into dead religion. Dead religion. And we live in a world filled now with dead religion, where people care nothing for the gospel of Jesus. They care nothing for the truth. But the truth hasn't changed. The truth is as true today as it ever was in history. And my friends, let me tell you this. You live currently among a passive people. You live currently among a people who are asleep. You live among a people who are comatosed by the stupidity that they have let into their minds. You are living among fools. But we're not called to be fools. We're called to live in faith. Amen. That's the gospel that we're reading about this morning. It's the gospel of faith. And this is what happens when we say to ourselves, I am going to live my life day by day. I will take in, I make sure I take in my food for my tummy. Well, my God isn't going to be my belly. My God has told me that I should attend to his word. I'm going to attend to his word more than I attend to my tummy. I'm going to take that word in. When we live like that, this is what happens. we start to see faith growing inside of us. And then God takes us out of the natural way of living into the supernatural way of living. We leave away the natural mindset, natural things, natural perspectives. This is how I can do it. I can plan for this, and I'm going to do this, and I can do, and I'm and fix figuring it all out ourselves. We leave that behind, and we start to walk in faith. And now a different mindset comes, a mindset where all things are possible. It's a different mindset. It's completely different. It's a mindset that's yielded to God, not yielded to our mind, the limits of our human rationale. So this is why taking that word in is important. Listen, anything in life, anything that we do in life takes a plan, a strategy. You know, if we were to say, if I was to say to you, listen, I want to live this life as a, listen, if my passion is the gospel of Jesus, I know that if I can get people out there to hear the gospel of Jesus, I know lives can change. I know those youngsters, I know what's best for those youngsters out there. I really do. I know what's best for them, to meet Jesus as Lord and Savior. Am I right? That's the truth. That's the best thing that could happen to them. So now I know. So that's a passion then that I have, and that we have as a church. We have this together as a church. So now we're going to do that. We want to do that. We're figuring out how to do that. This is what happens. We study the word daily. The word goes in, and that starts to shape our thinking, and then ideas start coming. Ideas come, but this is what happens. In anything in the world, anything that you will excel in, if you've excelled in anything, you've had to spend time doing it. So if you want to excel in the things of God, you have to spend time in the Word of God. When I was younger, you know, I used to love golf. Golf was my sport. I mean, I would play 2 rounds of golf a day. I left school early. They gave me permission to leave my school. When I was doing my A-levels, I left my school early because I was going to be a golf professional. And so my school gave me permission to be out of school 2 days a week just to play golf. I was only in school part-time. I was playing golf the rest of the time because I was going to be a golf professional. I mean, I would play 2 rounds a day. I'd go out and I'd play another 9 holes after that. I'd go on the driving range. I would hit ball after ball after ball after ball. I would just be hitting the golf balls, golf balls, golf balls, golf balls. I mean, I was totally committed to that. I went to sleep thinking about golf. I woke up in the morning thinking about golf. Everything was golf. Everything I did was golf. I just loved the sport. So I was committed to it. So you see, we have to make a commitment of our time to that which we love. It manifests in our time. So I would ask someone, do you love Coronation Street more than Jesus? I'm so happy to hear those words. I don't watch that. It's still on, isn't it, that show? And there's another one then, EastEnders. Is that still on? You know, they have these things. Well, look, people put their recorders on it. The thing is, watch, they spend about 10 hours a week watching that thing. And then you speak to the same people. You say, are you reading the word? Are you in the, I've been reading it, but nothing changes for me. Nothing seems to change. But I've been reading it. Oh, yeah, I've been reading it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, one verse in the morning. You know, one quick verse, and that's it. It's as if they're playing, you know, playing really with the Lord. He's called us to give our best. He's called us to be living sacrifices. Doesn't get any stronger than that as a picture, does it? That's the picture that he's given us. Strong picture. And when we're living sacrifices and we walk in this faith, what happens? Well, everything changes. Our perspectives change in life. You know, picture this beautiful story. There was a man, I want to tell you about a man called Dr. A.B. Simpson. Dr. Simpson was a very interesting man. I'm going to read the testimony from about Dr. Simpson to you. So at the age of 46, Dr. A.B. Simpson, who was a Presbyterian minister at the time and later founded the Christian Missionary Alliance, was told that he was dying of a heart condition. He was told, "You're dying of a heart condition," and he was given 6 months to live. They said there was nothing they could do. Sorry. Dr. Simpson said that he'd heard many testimonies of healing, even in his own church. He took a short leave of absence and went up to his farm, where he could spend a lot of time studying the Word of God. At the end of 2 weeks, Dr. Simpson took a piece of paper and a pencil, and he wrote this: "After searching the Word of God for 2 weeks, I am convinced the Bible teaches that divine healing is for us today. And I, this day, accept Jesus Christ as my healer and declare that I am now healed from heart trouble and that I am well." Now notice what's happening in his testimony so far. First of all, number one, he went to study the Word of God. Studying the Word of God to show himself approved, a worker rightly dividing the Word. But the authority that we have as believers comes from the Word of God. So he studied the Word of God. He took the time away. He said, "I'm going to find out what this Bible says." And he found out what he says. And based on what the Bible says, because he had integrity, there was integrity in his faith in the Bible, he was able to write that contract with a conviction because he believed in the Word and he studied what the Word says. So then he writes this testimony and he says, "I'm now healed from heart trouble and I am well. And I promise God to use this newfound strength and life and energy entirely for his purpose and to further the gospel. I promise God. I will share this truth of healing with others and help them." After that time, and he signed the paper. After that time, Simpson went to a luncheon where he was to be the keynote speaker. All that came to him to speak about was the one word of Matthew 8:17 himself. So Dr. Simpson opened his Bible and read the entire verse and told the audience he wanted to focus his attention on that word himself. Then he gave them his testimony of how he'd been searching the Bible and had come to the conclusion that Jesus was still the healer for today. After the luncheon, he was invited to go mountain climbing by the men to whom he'd spoken. The thought immediately came to him that he wouldn't be able to do the mountain climb because of his heart condition. But then he remembered that he declared his healing to everyone. So he accepted the invitation and he went. Up to this point, he'd not really seen or felt his healing. So he wasn't going by his feelings or what he felt in his body. He was going on his faith in the Bible, not what his body was saying. It's very interesting, this. This is walking in faith. This is what it is to walk in faith. So he felt the symptoms of the heart condition all the way up the mountain. Every time he got his mind off the Word of God, those symptoms would come, and he would start to feel those symptoms of his heart condition. He overcame the feelings because as he claimed the Word again in his mind for his healing, all the symptoms would go away. And he fought this battle all the way up the mountain. But when he got up the mountain, he walked about victorious without any symptoms. All the way up, those symptoms were attacking him. And all the way up, he answered the symptoms with the Word of God. We've read about faith in Romans 1. We read about faith in Romans 12. All the time you start to use faith, the enemy will come as an accuser, firing their arrows, saying, did God really say? Are you sure? I don't think you can. You're going to fail. You made it all up. You're going to fail. This won't work out. All the while, the enemy will be saying that to you. And all the while, the only thing that you have any hope of answering him with, I tell you the truth, the enemy doesn't get swayed with emotions. A big voice won't do it, friends. My apologies if sometimes I have a big voice. Big voices, the enemy's not afraid of a big voice. No. It's not about a big voice. What it's about is faith based on the Word. You can have a quiet little petite little voice like that, but if you've got faith in the Word of God, if you've got faith, the enemy knows it. And it's only faith that will counter the attacks of the enemy. So late at night when the enemy tells you you're going to die, or you're going to this, or you're going to that, you better know the Word of God. You better know what the Word of God says about these things, and then you can answer according to the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not studying the Word of God, if you're not reading the Word of God, what have you got? And I promise you, Jesus made a promise even stronger. Every day has enough, what? Trouble. Every day there's trouble. One of the promises of Jesus. Listen, I'd like to say that Jesus didn't say that. Every day we're going to be happy and everything's going to be great. It's not what Jesus says. He says every day there's going to be trouble. We are in a fight. It's not always going to be easy. There's a fight taking place. The enemy came to Jesus. And what did Jesus use to... What did he use? He used Scripture, the Word of God. Now, if Jesus had to counter the devil with the Word of God, what should we counter the devil with? The Word of God. How can we counter if we're not studying the Word of God? We've got to know the Word of God. There's no shortcuts to this. This is growing in maturity as a church. Listen, when the church is full, I want the church to be full. When the church is full and there's new people coming in, we want them to be schooled in the Word of God. We want them to be robust Christians, that they can go and share the gospel with others, that we can see this ministry of Jesus Christ making a great impact in this area and beyond, wherever the scope is that we go. But it'll only happen if we're on the Word of God, in prayer. That's why I say, before we read the Word of God, let's pray. And if we have an opportunity, pray after we've read it as well. So the prayer must be there. you know, for the leading of the Holy Spirit, and then we read the Word of God, and then we act on the Word of God. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Praise God. Dr. Simpson then was 70 years old when his testimony was published. He was 46 when we started. He was 70 years old eventually when his testimony was published, and he said that he'd never had any more symptoms whatsoever after that mountain climbing experience. And P.C. Nelson said that more people lose their healing over a counterattack than anything else. Interesting. A.B. Simpson, who just acted like the Word of God is true, and he received his healing. Instead of trying to believe, he acted upon the Word. He acted like the Word is true. This is the key. Faith that we've heard about this morning, what is faith? Faith is acting on the Word of God. It's not, I hope it's true, I hope it is. It's saying, this is for me. You may hear many people saying, well, yeah, but what about this? What about? Listen, all I know is this. Say this to God. I'm different. My case is different. I'm special. Say that. You know, you have that relationship with God. How can you have that relationship with God? Spend time with God. Spend time with God. You'll find out you are special. You'll find out your case is different. You'll find out that God will do things with you that he won't do with others. You say, how can you say that? He's big. He can have lots of personal relationships like that. You can be special to him like I'm special to him. But we have to spend time with God and let him shape our lives. And let his word shape our lives. And act then on faith. Faith is acting on the word. So A.B. Simpson acted on the word. The word says it. That's it. I'm taking it. It's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine. I'll have it now. In the word of God it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses. It's mine. I'll have it now. Let's stand, shall we? Healing is the children's bread. These are words that Jesus said. It's by faith that you believe. Oh, I said yes. Oh, I like that. Oh, yes. It's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine. I'll have it now. It's mine, I'll have it now. In the word of God it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses. It's mine, I'll have it now. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, we ask this, for you to minister to us your wonderful truths. And we yield ourselves to this. We yield ourselves to this. Stuart, would you just play, please? We yield ourselves to this word. We say, Father God, please, come and have your way. That, Lord, your will be done in and through our lives. That, Father God, we would be your children and that we would be carriers of your truth. So, we commit ourselves to this now. Dear friends, as we respond to God now in prayer, let's just respond to him. If you need healing for your lives, if you need healing for your lives this morning, any physical healing at all, if you need that this morning, do what A.B. Simpson suggested. Consider what the scriptures teach. Consider the healing potential of the scriptures. And say to yourself, it's mine. I'll have that now. I will exercise faith. Anytime God does something on earth, it's faith that causes that to happen through his church. It's faith that causes the miraculous to flow. It's faith. It's impossible, but it's happening all the time, all over the world, when people walk in faith. So this morning now, just say yes. I'll take that. I'll take that healing for me. I'll take that emphasis in my life. I will take that way of life. I'm going to read and study the Word of God in a systematic way. And I want to respond to you now, Heavenly Father. Every eye closed, no one looking around. But you want to respond to God now. You lift up your hand and say, yes, that's for me, Lord. And just lift up your hand and respond to Him now. If He's speaking to you this morning, you just lift up your hand, you respond to Him, and you say, yes, that applies to my life, and I take it now through Jesus, my Savior. And don't be shy, don't be bashful. You just respond to God. Father, you see humble hearts responding. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We're not too big to respond. We're not too proud to respond. We respond to you, Lord. We say, have your way with our lives. Take us, Lord, and use us for your glory. Have your way. That this church and us as a people would do all that you call us to do and be all that you call us to be through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.